Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I've never had the privilege of meeting you. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here. And we have been in a series talking about eternity, the things of eternity. Pastor Blake and Pastor Roger both touched on it the first 2 weeks. And last week I talked about hell. How many were here for the message? And you came back. Wow, that's impressive. How many are glad you weren't here? You know, last week was kind of heavy and intense and serious, so I thought this week I would start out just a hair lighthearted. I looked up some famous last words that you don't want to be saying, okay? How about famous last words that you don't want to be saying? How about this one? He's probably just hibernating. Or this one. So you're a cannibal. Famous last words. Pastor George likes it. That's good. I'm going to keep going. How about this one? Are you sure the power is off? Said that one before. Which wire was I supposed to cut? I like this one. These are the good kind of mushrooms. And here's my favorite. Nice doggy. Oh, man. In all seriousness, the last words, if someone has the privilege of speaking last words on their deathbed, the last words that somebody says are a big indicator of what was hoped for in life and who they were trusting in. So maybe you've had that privilege to be at somebody's deathbed and to hear their last request or to hear their last words. And I looked up some famous people, and the first two that I found were a little scary, to be honest with you. The famous actress Joan Crawford, when she died in 1977, as her housekeeper began to pray over her, she said, "Don't you dare ask God to help me." That's how she went into eternity. David Hume, the famous atheist, there were people gathered around his deathbed when he was about to pass into eternity, and they heard him say, "I'm in flames." And they said it was so intense and frightening, they didn't know what to do as they heard him say those words as he uttered his last breath. John Newton, the famous, he wrote Amazing Grace and was a great pastor. Prior to becoming a pastor, he was a slave trader and had a really, really bad past, a lot of guilt. But Jesus came and set him free and set him on the path of grace. And on his deathbed, he said this. He said, "I'm still in the land of the dying. I shall be in the land of the living soon." That's actually on his tombstone if you were to see it in England. It's true. Shakespeare. I really like what Shakespeare said on his deathbed. He said, "I commend my soul into the hands of my Creator, hoping and assuredly believing through the merits of Christ my Savior to be made a partaker of everlasting life." Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about a matter of life and death and finish out our eternity series. And in a sense, famous last words of Paul. I don't know for a fact these were Paul's last words, but I do know Paul wrote the book of Philippians from jail. And shortly after being in jail, we know Paul was executed. He was martyred for being a Christian by Nero. And he uttered some great words, and I titled this A Matter of Life and Death, Not a Matter of Life or Death, on purpose, because if we get the first part right, how life, the second part of dying will be a breeze for all of us. When we learn how to live, then we're no longer afraid to die. When we learn what life is about and we live life from God's perspective, it just takes the sting. Jesus took the sting out of death, that we know we pass into eternal life. So if we need to learn how to live in order to know how to die. And this is what Paul says. Look at your notes. He says one simple verse in Philippians. He says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let's read that together. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, I was thinking about this for a lot of people that we all know, probably ourselves at some point in our life, and maybe even tonight, it's true of you. Can you say, for me to live is Christ? Or if you were to be honest, would you say, for me to live is pleasure? For me to live is my career. Work, work. For me to live is work. For me to live is to make as much money as I can, or for me to live is even my family. If that's the case for you, then to die would be regret. It wouldn't be gain. But what God wants us to know tonight and how to live in order to we see that dying is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Here's the first point. God wants each of us to live fully alive rather than just exist. We all know people who, they're alive. We pass by them every day. We see them in the grocery store. We work with them. Yeah, they're alive. There's a beating heart if you were to check the pulse, I guess. But they're existing. They're not living. God wants us to live fully alive. So many people get stuck in neutral. You ever had a car that a standard that you gotta shift gears and you get stuck in neutral? You can't go anywhere. You can push the gas and rev the engine, but you're not going forward or you're not going backwards. So he says to live is Christ. That's living fully alive. Look what Jesus said. Jesus, talking about Satan, says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. What does he say about himself? I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. So I didn't make that up. God and Jesus want us to live fully alive. Here's a couple thoughts about it. How do we live fully alive? Well, first of all, to live fully alive is to live with a sense of purpose. It's to live with purpose. It's to live on purpose. The book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, we talked about this several weeks ago when we taught in here about the book of Colossians. Paul says in there that everything begins with Jesus, is for Jesus, exists for Jesus, by Jesus. So every human being that's ever lived, everybody in this room, you do not exist for your own purpose. You exist for God's purpose for your life. That's the struggle so many people have in life. They say the question, what do I want to do with my life? And that is the wrong question. We need to ask ourselves the question, what does God want to do with the life he gave me? Because you're not going to be fully alive or happy until you enter into that perspective. I know a lot of people in here know exactly what I'm talking about. Before I entered into a relationship with Jesus and became a follower of Jesus, I chased every dream possible, every purpose. I have pictures to prove I had long hair and was in a rock band. How many know that to be true about me? I have pictures to prove it. I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. 80s rock hair. It was actually pretty cool at the time. But that didn't bring me purpose. I wanted to be a baseball player. Then I was going to be this. I was going to be an actor. I chased everything. And it wasn't until I became a follower of Jesus that I realized what I was made for. And when you realize what you're made for, you enter into a whole new dimension of life. You don't add Jesus onto your life. He becomes your life. And when that happens, you live with a sense of purpose. Jesus said in John 17:3, in his great prayer for his followers, he said, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and your son, Jesus Christ." Eternal life purpose is about knowing God and his son, Jesus. Another way to be fully alive is to be filled with true joy and peace regardless of circumstances. To know, to be, and you're thinking, what are you talking about? Well, I see this in so many people. People get stuck, they get stalled in life because of difficult circumstances. They think either, you know, God's mad at them, or their dreams didn't turn out the way they had hoped they would be, or somebody didn't treat them right, or somebody betrayed them. One of the unthinkable realities of life happened, and then they got stuck. But God wants us to know true joy and true peace in spite of circumstances. Because Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations of many kind. He said this, but take courage. I've overcome the world. Jesus never said, one thing he did promise is that you and I were going to have trials and sorrow in this life. None of us is going to escape that. This isn't heaven. We're not there yet. And if Jesus said it, you could take it to the bank. But the other thing I know Jesus did promise is that he would give us his peace. He said, "My peace I leave with you, not peace as the world gives, but peace as I give you." Then he also said that about joy. He said that he prayed for us that our joy would be complete. So we can have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, regardless of our circumstances. The peace of Christ is ours. The peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding guards our hearts and guards our minds, regardless of what we're going through. I read this from, I can't remember who said this, but I think this is one of the most profound, life-changing statements. He said, "Maybe life is so hard because we thought life was supposed to be so easy." Think about a lot of the troubles you're going through or have been through. If you would have grasped, started, your starting place in life was, guess what? Life's hard. Life is not easy. Life is not a piece of cake. It's difficult. Okay, you're prepared that way. And then when those things come in your life, you're ready. Because you've already been prepared knowing that life has its ups and downs and its difficulties. And people are going to treat you wrong. And you're going to make mistakes. People, you could say that about, you know, people say that about marriage. Maybe marriage is so hard for some people because you thought it was supposed to be so easy. You thought marriage was going to be the answer to your problems. Marriage was going to satisfy everything in you. And all of a sudden it got worse for you. Or maybe you thought, today you would say that maybe parenting is so difficult because you thought it was supposed to be so easy. But life's not that way. To live fully alive is also this, to know significance and security. To know true significance and security. Jude 1:1, there's only one chapter in Jude. In the first verse, he says this. He says, "To those who are called, loved, and kept by Jesus Christ." So if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been called by him. He called you by name. He knows you. You're loved by your Creator and your Savior, loved in a way that no person could ever love you, to the depths of your core of who you are. And you're kept. We all were born with two needs that only God can meet. And in life, we try to get the need of security and significance met through people, through careers, through, you know, any kind of addictions, whatever it is, we're trying to get significance and security and money or the wrong things when God's saying all along, "I created you with those needs, but I'm the only one that can meet your need for security." You know what security is? It's a critical need that every human being is, and it's this: I am loved without conditions. Tonight, do you know that you are loved by God without conditions? Bible says that while we were still God's enemies, he gave us his son. He loved you and knows you and loves you without conditions. Human love is always conditional. We're trying to grow in that, and that's part of growing into Christ's likeness, is to have that worked in us. But we do the love with conditions thing. One of my love languages is words of affirmation. So I'll tell my kids, my wife, hey, I love you. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for, I love you too. If they don't say something, I'm offended. Yeah, why'd you just hang up? I said, I love you. You know, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not the only one. You're looking at me like you don't know. Now you do. We all do that. We want, you ever, you know, scratch a loved one's back hoping that they're going to scratch your back. I mean, that's how you rub, give you a little massage. All right, it's my turn. I mean, that's the way we do things. But these are two crucial needs, critical needs that only God can meet. But when we know that, when we find it in God, when we find it in Christ, we're living fully alive. There's nothing somebody can do to rip away your significance. Your significance comes from that God called you, and that gives your life impact, and that God wants to use you to make a difference in this world, and that your life has significance. That changes your whole perspective. That makes me alive. I don't care whether my name is ever famous or I'm ever rich or I'm ever, you know, in the newspaper. I'm significant without all of that. And so are you, because God has called you to have impact and you're loved, secure. To live fully alive is to live without regret. And as you're flipping your paper, because that's what you're trained to do that. As you flip your paper, you're thinking, Scott, who in this room is going to live without regret? Let me talk about that for a second. Let me read you a quote. One of the favorite books I've ever read that's impacted me is a book called Seizing Your Divine Moment by a guy named Irwin McManus. He's a pastor in LA. And in this book, he said this. He said, life is the sum total of what you do with the moments given you. You have no control over when you die, or most often how you die. But you do have control over how you live. You don't control the day of your death. You can do your very best to take vitamins and exercise and go to the doctor. Do that. But, you know, I remember when the Atkins diet came out and everybody was into the Atkins diet, and he had this book called The Age-Defying Diet. Age-Defying Diet. It had some ways of defying age. And Dr. Atkins died slipping on pavement, on an icy pavement, and cracked his head and died. He had no control. The quality of life you can control to some degree, but the quantity of life, no. Ecclesiastes says, death is the destiny of every person. The living should take that to heart. We're all going to the same spot. We're all going to walk through the doorway of death at some point in time. We're all headed there. Eternity, when I say living without regret, to live fully alive, remember this, eternity is shaped by choices that we make. Eternity is shaped by big choices. The most important choice of what are you going to do with Jesus Christ in putting your faith and hope and trust in him. But it's also little choices that you make every day. Maybe we perceive them as little choices, but eternally they're big choices. And this thought hit me, and you can see this on your notes. It's never too late until it's too late. Say that with me. It's never too late until it's too late. It's never too late, but there is going to come a time it's going to be too late. And we should live soberly. We should live seriously, understanding that there's going to come. You put things off to tomorrow. You put things off and blow things off. You never know when it's going to be too late. And God doesn't want us to put it off to tomorrow, what we need to do today. And I wrote down some thoughts. It's never too late until it's too late to trust Christ. to put your faith and trust in Christ. I've been with people who trusted Christ on their deathbed. I've prayed with people. I have a significant memory of one of my close friends' dad dying of cancer and receiving the Lord and the next day passing into eternity. And when I did his funeral, I preached about the thief on the cross who had turned to Jesus in the middle of his execution and said, "Lord, would you remember me when you go to heaven?" And Jesus said, "Surely you'll be with me in paradise." And I talked about that because the man that had passed away wasn't a religious man or a churchgoer, but he trusted Christ. God's grace is big enough. It's never too late to be forgiven. It's never too late to give all your stuff to him, your bags, your baggage, the baggage of the past. Give it to him today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Give it to him today. Deal with it today. Don't wait until tomorrow to deal with it. Some of us have the whole Samsonite collection of baggage. But you know what? He can take it. He'll take it. He'll take it all. It's never too late to forgive. You got somebody in your life that needs your forgiveness. You got somebody in your life that has wronged you and you went your separate ways and maybe you never, in your heart, first of all, towards God, say, "God, I forgive them. I release them. I'm not going to hold on to what they did to me. I'm not going to repeat it over in my mind. I'm not going to take revenge. And maybe, God, if you give me a chance, I'll do something about it and write them a letter or an email or even a phone call. Releasing us. It's never too late till it's too late to forgive. It's never too late until it's too late to be used by Christ. God wants to use each of us every day. I was sitting there thinking about this when I was preparing this, and I may or may not, over the, you know, hundreds of times of preaching on a Wednesday night or a weekend message, completely told the story of how I came to become a follower of Jesus, and I'll save that whole story for a different time. But I'll tell you, there's a man living probably in Georgia, because my family, after the seventh grade, my brothers and sisters were out of high school. My parents decided to move to Georgia. And so I spent eighth and half of ninth grade in Georgia, and then we moved back halfway through ninth grade. And there was a guy on the University of Georgia campus where my brother Mike was going to school. People were walking by, and he grabbed my brother Mike, and he said, "Can I talk to you about some things?" And he had this NFL Christian football players that he wanted to show him, where these guys are sharing their life testimony about Jesus. And my brother sat down and watched that video. And that night, Mike and I, he said, "Let's go to a movie." And he and I went and saw the movie Porky's. If you're laughing, you know why that's funny, because that dates us, number one, and number two, wow, Porky's. But we went and saw that movie. And the whole time, he couldn't think straight. The movie wasn't funny to him. He just wanted to talk about what this guy shared with him about heaven and hell and being born again and Jesus and all of that. And it impacted me. A seed was sown into my heart. And I believe, even though I went through my own journey of coming to Christ and my own stuff that I got myself into, manure actually turns out to be a good thing if it's used right. And we all have manure in our life. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And I believe with all my heart, God, that night, through my brother who hadn't even given his life to Christ, sowed a seed into my heart about being born again. And all of a sudden, Mike becomes a Christian. My mom and dad, my sister, finally God gets a hold of me. My other brother, I get called into ministry. They've been doing ministry. We've been hopefully impacting people our life. Who knows until we get to heaven the impact of this one man saying, "Hey, son, can I show you this DVD and tell you about Jesus?" We've never seen him since that day. My brother tried to look him up and tell him thank you and never got a hold of him. And yet the truth is, that doesn't matter. When that guy goes to heaven, crowns of glory and reward for his one step of faithfulness. It's never too late until it's too late to be used by Christ. And it's never too late to enjoy each moment. Slow down. Stop hurrying. Spend time with people. Enjoy life. Because one day it's going to be too late. And you don't want to look back and say, why did I spend so much time on things that didn't matter? Working so hard. I know we got to pay the bills. But come on. It comes time where you got to spend time with people. The thing we will regret most when we die is things about our relationship with God and our relationship with people closest to us. Spend time with those whom you're closest to, who need you. You are a leader to somebody. Lead them. All right, number two. God wants us to see death from his perspective. He wants us to live fully alive, but he also wants us to see death from his perspective. Paul said to die is gain. What do you think of when you hear the word gain? When I was trying to think about this, I thought, you're going to laugh, but I actually had a sports illustration come to me. You know, you gain ground on the team ahead of you when you win. Rockies need to do that. You gain yardage when you get closer to the goal line. If you're into the stock market, did your stock gain profit? You gain something. It's good when it's a good thing. To die is gain. It almost seems like to somebody who's not a believer, who's never read scripture, that sounds like just a paradoxical oxymoron. To die is gain. I thought it was over when you die. It's not over. That's why it's gain. Look what the psalmist said. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why is it when a saint, and you're a saint, did you know that? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a saint. You don't have to wait till 500 years after your death and someone recognize it. You're a saint right now. That's what scripture teaches us. And it's precious to God when his saints pass away to go be with him in eternity. Because it's heaven's gain, his gain, their gain more than anything. Because here's a couple reasons. Look at this. Death is gain because we will be face to face with Christ. You don't no longer have to wonder what he looks like or what it's going to be like. Or, sometimes we feel like we have a one-way conversation in prayer, or we wonder and our minds drift when we pray or experience God. And all these weaknesses that we carry, those are going to be stripped away. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you pass into eternity, you're face to face with Jesus. I'm looking forward to that. Death is gain because we'll be free, completely free from sin, sickness, and sorrow. One of the things I'm looking most forward to in heaven is I'm not going to have the ability to sin anymore. You know what I'm talking about? You won't even have that ability. There's no temptation in heaven. So Jesus dealt sin the death blow when he died on the cross. He took the sting out of death when he lived his perfect life and paid the penalty as his sacrifice. But in this life, we still struggle with temptation and sin, and that's the sanctification process that all of us have to go through. There's coming a day we won't be sick, we'll have glorified bodies, and there won't be any crying or mourning or sorrow. There won't be any betrayal. Nothing but perfect bliss with God. Death is gain because we will finally be in our real home. Have you ever moved from a house that you loved and maybe you had to move? And you drive by that old house and you think all the memories, maybe where you grew up. You think, man, I got some good memories there. But you've learned that ultimately home is where your heart is. And tonight for us, home is where our heart is. This is our temporary home. We're strangers in a strange land. We're passing through to get to our real home. Don't get too comfortable here. Don't try to make this heaven. I am convinced that one of our biggest problems we do as Christians is we try to make this heaven. And people, when we try to make this heaven, we lose sight of the real heaven and where heaven really is and why heaven is heaven. And we're not there yet. We are passing through. We have not crossed over the Jordan into that promised land yet. We're all going to at some point in time, but we're not there yet. We're still journeying. And along the way, let's grab as many people as we can and say, come with us on this journey. Come with me. We're heading to the promised land. We know the place of ultimate perfection and bliss face to face with your Creator. We know where we're going. Come with us. Let's get as many people gathered as we can and tell them. That is one of the purposes of your life, is to tell other people about the promised land and how to get there. It's not Pastor George's responsibility or mine or Billy Graham. It's all of ours at whatever level it is. I was thinking about this. Why do sometimes, even though we're Christians and we know this to be true, there's the weakness and frailty of our bodies and our minds. We know in part, we don't have it all figured out. Why do we sometimes feel empty? You know, I've talked to people who bought new houses, fine cars, nice, got different careers, and they're still empty. You Christians on the other side going, it's because this isn't home. It's kind of like Christmas. You know, if you in your house, you grew up where Christmas was a big deal, and you spent from July on worrying about Christmas, and then Christmas Day showed up, it can be a letdown on the other side because it goes by like that. Why are we sometimes still restless and do silly things that we do? We do it out of our restlessness because we get bored or, you know, we just don't stay focused on the things that God wants us focused, because this isn't heaven. So I want to finish with this. To live as Christ, to die is gain. Here's what I get from that. Life is a gift. This life that we're living now is a gift from God. And to truly live is to give it back to God and say, Lord, I give you my life. The gift that you've given me, I give back to you to inherit eternal gift of life. The one to come is a gift as well. What will you do with the gift of life? And I was reading lately from a book, and I just love what the author said here. Listen to this. Jesus said, to the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Listen to what the author says. You can be sure that that throne is not a lazy boy. Part of the reward of heaven is that we will finally see the full potential of humanity realized, including ours. Heaven will be the ultimate place of realized potential. Wow. There will be no unopened gifts there. Then he asks this. He says, so why don't you take a moment and ask some questions? What's my deepest dream? You ask yourself that. What is your deepest dream? How much passion do I experience in my daily life? What do I want my epitaph to say? How much am I growing these days? How often do I take risks that require a power greater than my own? If I had to name the one true thing that I believe I was set on this earth to do, what would it be? Why aren't you doing it? And how clear is it to me? What has the Lord of the gift given to you that you need to invest in the kingdom? To live as Christ and to die as gain. It's a matter of life and it's a matter of death. We glorify God in our life, and we glorify him in our death.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.